they don't buy influence. They absolutely are buying influence. Who are they kidding? Some corporation gives a massive amount of money to the party, or they bundle a bunch of money. What do you think they did it for? They didn't do it just for vanity's sake. They didn't do it just to say, here, let me show you how important I am. I gave you a bunch of money. They want something. They know they can buy legislation, and they do it. And that's the sad part of all this. It's been done, and I think Taylor pointed out we can't give up. It's something that we're going to have to remain vigilant on, or it'll even get more out of control than it is right now. I happen to think it is out of control right now, but watchdog groups like his and citizen.org and whitehouseforsale.org, do check both of those out. You'll find a wealth of information, things that you as a voter should know, you as a citizen should know, about campaign finance and how much you can give. If any of you have got deep pockets, you can find out all the rules on there, how much you're allowed to give and how much you're not. I don't have to worry about it, that's for sure. Hey, we're going to pause for for news at the top of the hour here on the Guy James Show, part of the Head On Radio Network. And we'll be back in just a couple. Don't go away.
In Iraq Tuesday, 61 Iraqis were killed and another 56 wounded. A U.S. soldier died Sunday of wounds received in a roadside bombing last July. A cameraman working for an Iraqi Shiite television channel and his driver were killed by a bomb north of Baghdad. According to the website truthout.org, the Iraq war is costing U.S. taxpayers $720 million a day. The U.S. has asked Israel if oil can be pumped from Iraq to the oil refineries in Haifa, Israel. The request came in a telegram last week from a senior Pentagon official to a top foreign ministry official in Jerusalem. The Israeli Prime Minister's office views the pipeline to Haifa as a bonus for Israel's unequivocal support for the American-led campaign in Iraq. The new pipeline would take oil from the Kirkuk area, where some 40% of Iraqi oil is produced, and carry it via Mosul, then across Jordan to Israel. The U.S. telegram included a request for a cost estimate for repairing the Mosul-Haifa pipeline that was in use prior to 1948. During the Israeli War of Independence, the Iraqis stopped the flow of oil to Haifa, and the pipeline fell into disrepair.
For more news and exclusive interviews, see the complete International Newsnet World Report each weekday evening on Free Speech TV, 9415 Dish Network, or visit our website, imnworldreport.net.
With food prices rising, Haiti's poorest can't afford even a daily plate of rice, and some take desperate measures. They eat mud cookies, a traditional Haitian remedy for hunger pangs. Global price hikes, together with floods and crop damage from the 2007 hurricane season, prompted the UN Food and Agricultural Agency to declare states of emergency in Haiti and several other Caribbean countries. The cookies are made by mixing dirt and water after straining out rocks and clumps and stirring in shortening and salt. The mixture is then patted into mud cookies and left to dry under the scorching sun. At 5 cents apiece, the cookies are a bargain compared to food staples. 2 cups of rice now sell for 60 cents, up 50% from a year ago. About 80% of people in Haiti live on less than $2 a day.
This is the Head On Radio Network. The Horn.
Yeah, my name is Good. to Foxed Up this Thursday midnight Eastern, where we'll take a look at singer Sheryl Crow. Find out about her experience working for Michael Jackson.
Michael is, he's not like every other performer. And I think everyone has to sign a contract when they work with him, not to write a book, you know, about what goes on behind the scenes or whatever.
She'll also talk about her problems with Walmart. So be there this Thursday midnight Eastern on Foxed Up, right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
All I want to do is have a little fun before I die.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Throw the second switch! Throw the third switch!
Not the third switch!
Throw it, I say! Throw it!
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, you hear me? Give my creation! Fly!
This was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. Six. Five. Four. Three. Two. One.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
God bless America.
And the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome back to the show. And ailing, cold-stricken Guy James with you here today, but in a good mood nonetheless. Please overlook my voice and my tone today because of this damn cold. First good cold I've had for a long time, if there is such a thing as a good cold. You know, it's sad listening to the news, and I hope some of you are paying attention there. Mud cookies. Don't think I ever heard of that one before. People can't afford rice to eat. Makes you wonder what this world is coming to, that there isn't enough generosity on this earth. There isn't enough bounty on this earth to make sure that every living human being on this planet can't have a couple of cups of rice, for God's sake. Instead, they're eating mud cookies. What's wrong with humanity? What is wrong with humanity that people are eating mud cookies? People are starving to death in other areas of the world. It's not like there isn't enough food. Because there is. Some people are obscenely wealthy. And don't start in on me. Don't send me 50 emails all of a sudden from my white right wing friends. Well, you get what you earn. You got to lift your bootstraps and all. Oh, please spare me. Spare me. It's sickening, especially when I pick up a newspaper and read a story like I saw today. Anybody know who Nancy Cartwright is? I'm afraid I'm out of the loop on this. Longtime Scientologist Nancy Cartwright, best known as the voice of what's that cartoon character? I can't read the rest. It's Bart Simpson. Gave the Church of Scientology $10 million. $10 million to Scientology. And I'm not picking on any religion. I don't do that. It just so happens this story is about Scientology. I don't care if it's a Methodist, a Catholic, Buddhist. It doesn't make any difference to me. $10 million, this Nancy Cartwright. I guess that's somebody, I don't know who it is. I never watched the Simpson thing. Is that still on? I don't know. $10 million. And we've got people eating mud cookies in Haiti, and she gives he or she or whoever, Nancy, and I guess it's she, $10 million? And we got millions of people starving to death? And we got people dripping in diamonds and obscene wealth in this world, and we've got people eating mud cookies? Damn, it makes you want to cry. Really does. I don't know. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join us here on the program today. 866-546-5254. And let's go to the phone and give my old voice a break here. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. This is John from Fort Myers.
Hi, John.
Something I wanted to call in and mention for some time now. It's not on topic as far as the presidential race is concerned, but I thought about this for a couple of years, and then events of last November really got me thinking more about it. Sometimes I feel like Alice through the looking glass, because I remember back in, I believe it was 2004, and I heard the radio interview, Donald Rumsfeld saying, in effect, that it was common knowledge that Flight 93 had been shot down by the American military. I was listening to the radio when he gave this interview. There was no follow-up. There was no big, you know, it should have been all over MSNBC and CNBC and CNN and nothing. It was as though it hadn't been said. And 2 weeks back in November, within 2 weeks before Benazir Bhutto was assassinated, she was being interviewed on television by David Frost. Now, David Frost has been interviewing world-famous people for many, many years. He's pretty good at it. And she said, and I do have a copy of this that was emailed to me. She said it's common knowledge that Omar Sheikh, the radical Islamic leader in Pakistan believed responsible for the death of Daniel Pearl, had killed Osama bin Laden. No follow-up question, no follow-up, no response in the press, nothing. I mean, it's not as though the world's attention wasn't focused on Benazir Bhutto from the moment she came back to Pakistan. And I'm thinking, is it me? Am I insane? Or what is going on here? I mean, in a world where you've got the 24-hour news cycle, and anytime somebody coughs out of character, it's, you know, they spend 3 hours analyzing it on one or more of these programs. Here are these two incredibly provocative statements by world leaders, by people in the position to know, came out, and no follow-up, no nothing.
Well, I have to admit, John, I haven't heard either one of those statements. I really haven't.
I will email you the video from Benazir Bhutto. I don't have any copy of the Donald Rumsfeld thing. I happened to be traveling at the time. And he did say this to a reporter, but I can email you the Benazir Bhutto interview.
Yeah, please do. I'd love to see that. You know, I think there was a lot of talk, and I think in the confusion, at least, of 9/11, at least what I understand to be the truth of the whole matter, that there was talk that perhaps the military had orders or permission to at least shoot the plane down. I don't know, but I had never heard that Rumsfeld actually said that, and if he did, it would be a huge mystery as to why the press hadn't picked it up. Of course, like you say, we're reduced to having a press nowadays that tells us about Britney Spears' every move.
I mean, I'm old enough to remember. I remember people like John Chancellor and Sander Van Oker and a lot of the correspondents. I mean, you turn on the news, you might see some craggy-faced person who started out as a newspaper reporter and moved over to television, and now you go throughout, all you see are pretty faces.
Pretty faces. No Walter Cronkites, no Eric Severides, none of the people that you just mentioned. You're right. You got to have a pretty face. And
I mean, Eric Severide probably had the worst teeth in the world.
Yeah.
That didn't stop him from getting on and telling the truth as he saw it, and a very, you know, and doing his job incredibly well. He was kind of a frightening person to look at, and some of the others, you know, were no great shakes in the looks department, but boy, did they know their subject matter.
Well, none of them would be prominent on the air now, would they?
No, well, for one thing, independent voices, I think, are on the way out. I mean, you look at, what was it, the gold standard for television news was CBS. I mean,
yes.
Look at all the incredible luminaries that worked for that news department for so many years. And now, who's the head? Katie Couric.
Yeah.
A celebrity interviewer.
And when you stop and think that now, you must be about my age, but Linda Ellerbe. Do you remember Linda Ellerbe?
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Not an attractive woman, enough, but just one hell of a good journalist. And you don't see somebody like her in the lead role anymore on the news. Instead, like you said, you've got your cutesy Couric's. Doesn't make sense.
I've never seen anything like it. And I thought, you know, I feel like I'm living on some kind of island. Why doesn't they talk about everything? I mean, Britney Spears' haircut, shaving her head, made the news for 3 or 4 days. And here is a Secretary of Defense of the United States saying this thing. And here is Benazir Bhutto saying this thing. And David Frost himself didn't stop.
Well, that's the mystery right there.
It is, because this is not a guy who, you know, he just does this, you know, phones in these interviews. He seems to be pretty good at what he does, always has. I will go ahead and email you that. I'd love to hear your take on this once you take a look at this video and see what she says quite plainly with no equivocation whatsoever, and then just skip on past to the next question.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, it's the state of our news media today. It's certainly not what it was, as you've well mentioned. John, thanks so much for your call.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Good to hear from you. I've heard talk of the shooting down of Flight 93. I've never did hear that Rumsfeld said it. I would be, if anybody has any audio like that, please do send it to me. I'd love to hear it, and I anxiously await hearing this David Frost thing. David Frost, no lightweight, certainly, and always a man that would dig into a question. 866-546-5254. More bad news out of Detroit, I see. A little bit off subject for a moment. I see now that Chrysler is offering buyouts to all of its employees in the Motor City. They're offering $100,000. Of course, you take the buyout, and you don't have any retirement benefits. You don't have insurance benefits, but they're offering $100,000. Hey, folks, think about that. That's not that much money anymore. If you have no pension anymore and no insurance anymore, and Ford's already offered buyouts to about, what, 50? I think to all of their people. I could be wrong, because I think they want to hire cheaper labor to get rid of the expensive labor they have. And, boy. And the Fed... Fed cut the rate again by another half percentage point today. And, you know, I was watching the market today. I keep this CNNmoney.com up on one of the computer screens here in the studio and keep an eye on it. I don't know why. I certainly don't have anything worth worrying about in way of a portfolio, but it's always interesting. It's news. And the Dow was down today, 40, 50 points. That's about it. And it languished about for a good amount of time there. And then the Fed, Bernanke, came out and announced this half-point, 50 basis points cut. And it went wild for a while. It went up 140, 150 points, I think. It went up that much. And now it's down to minus 37 again. So very volatile market. And that is a bit disconcerting to see that he cut the rate by a half a percent today, 50 basis points, and the market is down. How many times do you know that has happened? Not much. That shows you the confidence that investors have in the market right now. There are people making money. There will always be plenty of people making money in that. But, man, I'll tell you, it's tough. It's tough out there, and probably going to get a little tougher. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back.
This is Granny B, and I was just thinking about bubbles. And how we keep getting ourselves into them over and over and never seem to learn a dang thing about being careful. Remember when having a dot-com was going to make us all rich? Some secret threshold had been crossed and stock prices would never go down again? Then they did. And then we were all going to live on Easy Street as our houses got pricier and pricier. Until they didn't. But it's not just in our economic lives that we go off the deep end. Remember when George Bush was a uniter, not a divider? When he was going to bring honor and dignity back to the White House? Everything he said was so vague that everybody could believe what they wanted to about him. And you know how that turned out. Now we have a lot of folks in love with love of Barack Obama. They don't know a thing about him except that he talks about hope. And he'll bring us together. And everything he says is so vague that everybody can believe what they want to about him. Haven't we been down this road before? This is Granny B, and I was just wondering.
Around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure. And but does she really wanna? But can't stand to see me walk out the door. I can't stand to fight the feeling, cause the thought alone is killing me right now. Thank God for Mom and Dad for sticking two together, cause we don't know how. And hey, 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 you think you got it, oh, you think you got it. But God, I just don't get it till there's nothing at all. We get together, oh, we get together. But separate's always better when there's feelings involved. If what they say that nothing is forever. Oh, the one makes, the one makes, the one makes, the one makes, one makes love the exceptions. Why, oh, why, oh, why, oh, why, oh, why, oh, are we so in denial when we know we're not happy here? Hey, yeah. Hey, yeah. Hey, yeah. Hey, yeah. Hey, yeah. Hey, yeah. All right now, fellas. You're all. Seconds here. Don't make me break it down for nothing. I wanna see you all on your all's baddest behavior. Love me some sugar. I am your neighbor. Shake, 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 shake
Welcome back to the Guy James Show. Happy to have all of you along with us this afternoon. Stay a little bit back from your speakers so you don't catch this cold if I sneeze or something. I should wear one of those sterile masks, huh, while I'm doing the show. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join us, and we'd love for you to join us today. 866-546-5254. And if you've got an unlimited minutes calling plan, 941-876-6896. Any of you watch any of the hearings today with McCasey? I guess he told the Senate where to stick it once more, didn't he? He says he'll not tell them his views on the waterboard. You know, so much for another one of Bush's appointees. I said, and you remember, I said when they were having hearings for his confirmation that he ought to be rejected out of hand, that every Bush appointee should be rejected out of hand. You can call it partisan, call it whatever you want. I just call it being practical because you know these SOBs. Every single one of them has come in and turned on the Senate and not acted the Supreme Court nominees and McCasey, and they have not been what they said they would be during their confirmation process. Every one of them. So why would the Senate confirm any more Bush appointees? I do not understand that. You know, this civility that the Democrats have shown toward the Republicans since they took over has been sickening. First of all, you know, when they made the statement that the impeachment was off the table, and I understand from a practicality point of view that maybe it wasn't the most practical thing in the world, but it is the most sensible thing in the world to do, the most ethical thing to do. It was right. It was the right thing to do, and maybe it wouldn't have been convenient. Maybe it would have caused the country some pain. Maybe we need a little pain. That kind of pain. Maybe we need to hold politicians' feet to the fire for change and make sure they're honest and ethical. But this sense of civility that the Democrats have shown, I have been so disappointed, and I'm echoing the thoughts of so many of you, I know. I've been so disappointed in the leadership of the Democratic Congress. I can't tell you how disappointed I am, but here we've got McCasey one more time saying, "Hey, it's mud in your eye, boys. What are you going to do about it, Senator Leahy? What are you going to do?" You know, I talked to Leahy about this just a couple of months ago. And, you know, they throw up their hands and they go, "Well, you know, we're doing what we can, and we have to abide by the rules." How about going out on the steps of the Capitol building and raising holy hell about this tonight so that all of the media would be out there, and it might make the evening news, and maybe just the citizens of this country might see you out there raising hell and do something about it? But no. We'll just be quiet and we'll be nice about it, and we'll say a couple of things to McCasey during the hearings. And, you know, we don't like what you're saying to us. But do anything? What about all the threats that we've had all along about these emails and all that disappeared? What about all the threats they've made toward these people, toward the White House? What's come of any of them? Anything? That's right. Nothing. Well, tired of it, I tell you. Tired of it.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
That's just what I feel like every single day. I know a lot of you do as well. I came across something. You know, I like to talk about these scoundrels running for the presidency on the right side of the aisle. And, of course, one of them happens to be Mike Huckleberry from Arkansas. I just can't seem to keep his name straight. But he is about as slick as they get. You know, they can talk, they can say that, you know, Slick Willie from Hope all they want. If Bill Clinton learned any slickness, he might have learned it from Huck. because this guy is a real slickster, and he's got some friends that are just plain unbelievable. Republican hopeful Mike Huckabee reached out to a questionable, and I do mean questionable, funding source this week. Texas televangelist Kenneth Copeland, and he's one of the targets of the Senate Finance Committee investigation by Senator Grassley, and you know the other ones are Joyce Meyer and Benny Hinn and Creflo Dollar and Copeland. They're after him. And, you know, they've got this prosperity gospel ministries that they're... And at Copeland's annual by-invitation-only ministers' conference at his Newark, Texas headquarters, boy, Texas sucks them in, don't they? They can say what they want to about Florida. Man, oh man. Copeland received a call during the meeting from Huckabee requesting emergency financing, according to Doug Weed, former Bush family evangelical advisor. Copeland and his supporters at the conference raised $111,000 in cash for Huckabee, with about $1 million pledged in pledged donations. After he temporarily adjourned the conference and then reconvened the group as a private meeting, oh, how convenient. Wade relayed in a report in his blog from a source at the meeting that last night, the governor called his friend in the middle of the conference, and Copeland, carefully observing all the laws governing nonprofits as a private citizen, reconvened a private meeting, turned to his friends, and raised a few million dollars for Huckabee. According to video clips of the conference obtained by Trinity Foundation, an investigative watchdog group in Dallas, Copeland revealed that Huckabee had pledged his total support to Copeland's ministry while dismissing the Senate investigation. Well, let's take a few minutes and listen to Huckabee's friend, Kenneth Copeland. Let's hear him talk about Huckabee and what he's going to do and how he backs Huckabee and Huckabee backs him and how he's going to spit in the eye of the IRS and Senator Grassley in his investigation. This will take a few minutes, but I'd like you to hear what Kenneth Copeland, good friend of Mike Huckabee the Huckster, where he's getting a lot of his money now. This from Kenneth Copeland on January the 22nd of this year at this minister's conference down at his place. Let's hear it.
Now, let me tell you something. You're going to love this. At the Lord's instruction, I invited Governor Mike Huckabee to come and do a week's broadcast with me on the Believer's Voice of Victory. And the Lord said, don't invite him. Now, see, I'd read his books, and I had met him before and was really impressed with this man back 12 years before. He said, don't invite him as candidate to anything. He's an ordained minister of the gospel. And talk about the integrity of character. What somebody does when nobody but God is watching. Yeah. And so he came in and we made those five broadcasts. Well, we were to air those right the week after Thanksgiving. Well, it was about 2 days before when Mr. Grassley blessed us with an opportunity to use our faith. And it ran in the newspapers. It ran on the media. It was all over the country. Well, I called him immediately. I said, Governor, if this will negatively impact your campaign in any way, I won't run those broadcasts. He hollered at me on the phone. He didn't say, well, let me pray about it, or well, let me talk to my staff about it. No, he hollered at me on the phone. He said, are you kidding me? Why should I stand with them and not stand with you? They only got 11% approval rating.
Amen.
And then he said, Kenneth Copeland, I will stand with you
He said, you're trying to get prosperity to the people and they're trying to take it away from them. He said, I will stand with you anytime, anywhere, on any issue. That settled that right there. I said, yeah, that's my man. That's my man right there. You render to the government what belongs to the government, and you render to God what belongs to God. Now, the United States Senate has no authority to get information from a church. It's not secret information. It is private information. See? Because, think about it now, tax exempt. That is Internal Revenue Service, is it not? Isn't that who has jurisdiction over tax and tax pay and tax exempt? Right. Well, by now, this is an irony here. The U.S. senator that wrote the bill that was passed as the Church Protection Act, protecting the church from the Internal Revenue Service, was Charles Grassley. He's the one that jumped on us. He's the one that jumped on me and Creflo and Eddie and Joyce and Benny and all of us. Now, I want to show you something here. That information is not secret, it's confidential, and it belongs to the Internal Revenue part of the U.S. government. It does not belong to the United States Senate, and they don't have any right to that information unless I will volunteer it to them. Now, if I volunteer that information, then they have a right to publish it or do whatever they want to do with it. I don't think so. Now, what then has been their procedure? Now, I'm not talking about the whole Senate. I'm talking about Charles Grassley and his staff. He has a record of doing this. See, they didn't write us a letter. They didn't call us on the phone. We found out from the news media that they wanted something. They take certain information that they squeeze out of people, buy out of people, and you know, they get a lot of stuff. Everything they listed in there that they published as a grievance against us had an element of truth in it, but what they said about it was a lie because they don't know what the truth is in it, and I'm not going to tell them. So, what do? They released that to the news media, and then they sent it to us on a fax. We weren't sure it really came out of the Senate. I mean, there is a plain paper looking piece of trash. Now why are they going at it that way? In order to put pressure on us to volunteer this information to get them to quit telling the news media stories about us. Well, in order to do that, I would have to care. If I don't care. Now, when they have done this to other people besides us faith people, they attacked a string of us, they've done this in the past, and people have yielded the information, and then they publicized their private records and everything and embarrassed this fellow so badly that They one man that was chief executive officer of quite a large museum, and they ran in the newspaper his audit and compliance committee, his compensation committee's records, and all of that. None of their business, but by doing that, they put so much pressure on him that they literally destroyed him. Well, their thinking is they put this stuff out with a spin on it that Gloria and I are stealing money. Yeah, we went to Hawaii in that citation tent. When I went personally, I paid for it. But see the way they twist all that around was to make it sound like we just out, you know, burning up gas, trying to get our, these are their words, their donors will stop supporting them and back the Senate. Now, let me tell you something. You're going to love this. We answered them. We gave them a several page lesson on no. By going through. And here was the basic fundamental of it. Our attorneys cited the confidential privacy statutes. And not just for our ministry. If I yield that stuff, then they're coming after you. If they can take Creflo and me down, they're going to come after you. Everybody that ever went to Creflo or this church one time, they coming at you. So here is the thing. We told them the tax part belongs to the Internal Revenue Service. Now, if you want to come audit us, we've been prepared for you for a long time. But that's the only way you're going to get it. And you can't just come in here and start auditing just because you'd like to. Amen. And we will hold these things confidential. And that belongs to the Internal Revenue Service. It don't belong to the Senate. We gave them the address of the Internal Revenue Service in Washington, D.C. Well, then they wanted to know the names and the addresses and the dollar amount of everybody that donated anything into our 40th anniversary and to the offering that came to Gloria and me. They wanted the names and addresses and the dollar amount. Now, I told them right straight off of the top and renewed it to them just a couple of days ago. That belongs to God.
Amen.
I committed to God when I went in this ministry that I would never under any circumstances on earth give my mailing list, give the dollar donor amount to anybody on this earth. Now you can go get a subpoena and I won't give it to you. It's not yours, it's God's, and you're not going to get it. And that is something I'll go to prison over, so just get over it. And if there's a death penalty applied, well, go for it. But that, you ain't getting that. I like the old phrase, over my dead body. And then you're not getting it because you got to fight John. And John gets done with him, Gloria get on him, and that's the end of that right there. I can promise you that. Now, I'll go ahead and tell you this now. Don't get disturbed because he said three billionaires. Now, I don't want you to get disturbed because since I'm one of them, it'll only leave two more. No, now, wait a minute.
Now, wait a minute. Of course, I'm saying this with a smile on my face, but I'm serious as I can be. But now, I'm not one of those three since I already am one. I'm already appropriated that. I've been walking in that a long time. The last, now don't tell them senators this. The last time we totaled it up, which has been some time ago, this ministry, since it's been in operation 41 years this month, the last accounting of it, and this has been 2-3 years ago, so there would probably be at least 150 million more added to this. Well, our income last year was over $100 million. So there has been over $1.3 billion come into this ministry since it went into operation. So, amen. I'm not a billionaire because there's been over $1 billion come through this ministry. I am a billionaire because the assignment that the Lord gave me, He said, I want you to begin to confess the billion flow. Because as long as you were in the million flow, you were winning millions. You go into the billion flow, you win billions. So I said, yes, sir, I believe I receive it. That's been a number of years ago, and I have confessed that I am in the billion flow and that I am a billionaire in the kingdom of God.
Well, a bit lengthy, but I think you needed to hear all that to understand the arrogance of this man. Don't forget, this is a good friend and major supporter of Mike Huckabee. A man that's trying to put himself on the American public is just a nice little evangelical minister. Just doing the work of the Lord. Wanting to run the country and bring his morals and his ethics and help us all. This is a major contributor and good friend and supporter of Mike Huckabee. Now, he said several things during this little speech that he was giving, and he seemed to be having a good time while he was giving it, didn't he? Notice how he told all the participants of the conference, if they're coming at after Joyce Meyer, Benny Hinn, Creflo Dollar, and myself, next thing they'll be coming after you. Well, don't forget, he was talking to a bunch of evangelical ministers there, and what I would say is that if you're dumb enough and have low enough morals and ethics to attend a Kenneth Copeland Ministries conference, I'd say they probably ought to be coming after you. And secondly, he said, you know, they'd recently had a 40th anniversary of the ministry. A big reception, and they gave a, you know, love gift to Kenneth and Glory and the IRS, and the Senate wanted to find out who gave the money. Tax-free, of course. Of course they wanted to find out. Because these are scam artists of the highest order. You know, we did a whole program on it not so long ago. But the only reason I mention it today is because these people are major, major, major Republican supporters. And this nice little fellow, this Mike Huckabee with a good sense of humor that charmed so many people, right here in Florida yesterday, did right well up in the Big Bend area. Of course, we knew he would up there, what they call the Redneck Riviera. But he mentioned render under to the government what is the government's, and render unto God what is God's. The problem is that Kenneth Copeland and Joyce Meyer and Benny Hinn and Creflo Dollar, they think everything that is God's is also theirs. And they think the things that are yours is also theirs. And they have their jet airplanes and their fancy automobiles. And they live in lives of luxury while they skim money off of poor people. Thinking they send in a few bucks, they're going to make them prosperous. This prosperity ministry crap that they're doing right now. And I'll get to the phone in just a moment. And he said he swore an oath to God that he would never give away his list. Listen, I'm a little bit familiar with the oath that ministers swear when they are ordained. There's nothing in it about giving away their money list. Believe me, nothing in it about that. Just a little story to let you know what kind of man you're dealing with Mike Huckabee. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. This is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
I wonder if they're letting them know that this is the Republican senator.
Oh, yeah, I think he does. Yeah.
And the thing is, he's probably a real Republican.
Oh, he is.
You know what I'm saying? He's probably as honest as any of them you'd find.
Grassley is a real Republican. No doubt about it. And he's on to these people, and he's going to follow through with it, I think.
I know I told my friend that's right. When I told her, I said, this guy's a Republican, and I said, I call him a fuddy-duddy Republican. He's a real Republican. I think he's a real decent person.
Yeah, he's from the old
certainly
school.
Don't agree with his politics, but I think he's a very decent person.
And he
and
means
not
it.
Saying that.
Yeah, he means it when he's after these guys. He really does mean it. This is nothing that, you know, he really means this, Grassley.
Yeah,
does.
And I don't think they're saying that. I think they're letting them think it's the Democrat after him.
Well,
I may be wrong.
I just I hope he follows through with it. I'm sure he will to the best of his abilities. But
of course, you know, I'm familiar with some of those people.
Yeah.
But I never could get into Kenneth.
Well, the arrogance he showed there, the disdain he has for the United States Senate. And,
well, it's easy for him to do since he's saying he's a billionaire and he's got all these lawyers. It's easy for him to do.
Yeah.
You know, every other Tom, Dick, and Harry can't do that.
That's exactly right. Of course, every other Tom, Dick, and Harry, that includes you and me, I suppose.
Right.
We don't have our jet airplanes, and we're not fleecing the public
right.
for millions of dollars like he
right.
is.
Right. So, anyway, I just wanted to bring that
yeah.
point up.
Well, thank you, Juanita. Good to hear from you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Huckabee. We've got Huckabee. We've got McCain. And we've got Romney left. Who's it going to be? I personally think it's going to be McCain. That's what I think. We shall see. 866-546-5254. See, the market ended up today. Where did the market end up? I'm looking here. It appears it ended up down 37.5 points today. So, gold... What is gold today? I'm looking to see what gold was up to $925 an ounce earlier today. Light crude is $91.75, in case you were wondering. Heating oil is went up a little bit again today. Gold, $926.30. A lot of people selling their gold today. A lot. Not just today, but every day. I've known a couple of jewelers and... They have a constant stream of folks, you know, coupled with the fact that times are tough and the price of gold being $926 an ounce makes it unbelievable. I think that's the most it's ever been. I'm not sure. I haven't kept track of gold prices all my life, but I think it's I think that's the highest it's ever been. Pretty sure. What did I have? I had a note here that I wanted to sure and let you know something about something. Of course, we I don't want to get started on the war today. I had many things I want to talk about. Talking about Afghanistan, Bush was talking about it the other night, and we find out that some of the things he said isn't necessarily the truth, but what else is new in that? Somebody sent me a couple of cute stories this morning, and true stories. A 47-year-old Vermont man was arrested on DUI charges Saturday night while driving to bail his wife out of jail after her arrest on drunk driving charges. Cops in the town of Leicester said Michael Laporte was driving to a police station when he lost control of his dump truck and flipped it over on a highway. He wasn't hurt, but he was charged with DUI and driving with a suspended license. Cops say Laporte was headed to pick up his 33-year-old wife, Tanya, who had been arrested for DUI earlier in the evening after colliding with another car. Didn't say if she was driving a dump truck as well. Man, there's a couple that can't drive or hold their liquor. Sounds like maybe he stopped and picked up a few six-packs before he went to pick up his wife. Holy cow. And something I've suggested for a long, long time. I mean, every time you go to the airport nowadays, man, you got to take your shoes off. You got to take your belt off and all this, your coat and putting a... what a hassle it is. Well, here's... I've recommended this very thing for a good long time, only not quite in this arrangement. Good news for vacationing German nudist who can't wait to strip off their clothes. A travel agency is now arranging flights so nudists can fly the friendly skies naked. The first scheduled nude charter flight will be a July the 5th day trip from the German city of Erfurt to a nudist beach on the Baltic Sea. Organizer Enrico Hess said the passengers will fly naked, but they can't get undressed until they're on the plane. Hess said once airborne, the nudist will be able to, quote, enjoy the flight in the way God intended. The pilot and flight attendants will keep their clothes on. Well, man, I don't know about that. There's something about putting on the seatbelt there that kind of sounds a bit uncomfortable with that whole deal. And the pilot's probably going to keep his clothes on so he doesn't accidentally... I'm not going there. 866, well, no, we don't have time for any more phone calls this afternoon. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the Super Tuesday coming up. There are a lot of speculations on who might win what and which states and so forth. And I think we'll go into that a little bit of that tomorrow. So have your pencils and papers out and give me your prognostication either by email or give us a call tomorrow and let us know how you feel about how the race is going to go. Do you think it's going to be Obama? Do you think it's going to be Hillary? And John Edwards is out of it now. I'm sure you all had heard that earlier today, and that leaves me a little sad today. It really does, because I believe John Edwards is a good and decent man, and I had hoped he would stay in the race. I know he's personally wealthy, but probably didn't want to put a bunch of his own money. I don't know what the situation is, if he just felt it was hopeless and he couldn't do anything in the way of being a power broker at the convention. I don't know the complete situation. I'm sure we'll find out. But nonetheless, it's sad to see him bow out. Will he have a prominent spot in a new administration? I don't know. I think he'd make a great attorney general, like I said earlier. I don't think there's a chance he'd be picked as a vice presidential candidate. That wouldn't be a practical thing to do since he was on one losing cause already as a VP. I just don't think that anybody will do that. It will be interesting, however, to see who is going to be the VP from either one of these candidates. Very, very interesting to see who that might be. Will it be Bill Richardson? Will it be an Evan Bayh if it's Hillary Clinton? Somebody from the DLC? Who knows? I certainly don't know. I probably wouldn't want to hazard a guess right now. The field is wide open. The governor of Ohio might be a pick. Geographically, you might think, well, somebody from the West, and that would be Richardson. Ohio, Indiana, the great Midwest, where Republicans have ruled for so long. Hard to say. Somebody from the South, even. Of course, I don't know how much good that would do. The Solid South will probably remain the Solid South, something has been for a long, long, long time. I do want to thank you for listening to the program today. I do want to remind you that we've got a lot of great programs here on the Head On Radio Network. We've got Mark coming up next, and then Bob after that. If you haven't heard either of those programs, I encourage you to do so. Mark's always got great interviews, great insight from inside the Beltway in Washington, living there. He knows what's going on. And Bob's the master. And I think tonight is Wednesday night prayer meeting. So everybody be there for that. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Head On Radio Network on the Guy James Show. And don't forget, you heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you tomorrow, gang.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Today, I announce my endorsement for President of the United States, and I want